couple of years till we'll get the name straight. What's your first name again?
O'Shea.
O'Shea, O'Shea, O'Shea. O'Shea.
No problem.
Yeah. Okay, so we say Baruch Hashem, thank Hashem that we have this. I hope that you know you're going to like kaburas. I see there's a lot of kaburas here. This is a Kabbalah kabur. We keep the Ariza. And you have to go to the mikveh before.
He probably goes anywhere. And so far, he's not scaring him.
So what's your name? Yeshua. I can hear you.
Yeshua.
Yeshua.
It's my son.
Oh. I knew there was like a father-son relationship. I don't know.
He brought David for a while,
right,
so.
Right. Okay. So as we sang that. We thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, that we have the Ekatimsa to come together. You know, it seems like it's a push, we take it for granted, you know, that we have a group, we have, you know, we have a group, we have a shul, we have lights, we have tables, so it all fits together, you know, so why not? But we don't realize that part of one of the main aims and goals of a Chabura, you know, is to open up our awareness in our lives with a real awareness of accomplishment of having a certain awareness that unless you work on gaining this awareness, you don't have it. And that's, you know, all the uvdas that we do and all the exercises, one of the things that it's supposed to lead to is a certain conscientiousness, a consciousness, and an awareness. So one of the things is, this is a typical kind of thing. Like, in this Beis Medrash right now, you have like many shirim going on, many chaburas. And the shnayas is walking over there, and everybody's just sitting and learning, you know, it's beautiful. But I wonder how many people, like, it occurs to them, like, that from Matanah min HaShemayim, first of all, the fact that you can come together and learn without being oppressed, right? How many various abayis, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in Har Sinai, down through the generations and generations, how many times in the history of Klal Yisrael that what we're doing here tonight couldn't take place? It was the expense of blood, you know, to be able to come together like we're doing tonight without any stress and tension and fear of Baisai. You know, we're not talking about even 1,000 years ago, which took place, and 2,000 years ago. We're talking about 50 years ago, right? How many years in Russia sacrificed their lives, you know, because of Stalin, you know, he killed millions and millions and millions. And how many years gave up their lives because it was discovered that they were doing right now, nothing more than that. That the communists, the maximum influence, brainwash the children, you know, and to give over the information about their own parents, own fathers learning Torah, you know, to what do you call it, you know, to. Give over to the government.
Turn them in,
right? And the fathers, you're doing just what we're doing now. And the children were brainwashed by the communists in Matsumam to give over to the authorities, that the father is sitting learning Torah, and the father's it was blood, but it's like bloodshed. It wasn't just joking around, you know, go to Kanaz, for Shishikolim, right? And how many times in the history of the world, Rabbi Kiva, he learned Torah around him, right? So just the fact that we can come together tonight without being afraid, without the fear, we don't realize what kind of matana is, that all through the generations, many periods, what we're doing tonight was at the expense, you know, of the medicine under the ground and fear and we'd be happy, and it's who's coming, who discovered us, you know, that's why, that's called the light, that's go under the table, and we say, you know, it sounds like it's dramatic, it sounds like, you know, like a foreign intrigue drama, but this is history of Klal Yisrael, and the fact that we come together here tonight without having any fears and stress, don't realize that's the first matana of Beitai. And then, of course, you know, the fact, you know, that we have, you know, the Gashmi is over here, you have a building, you have light, and you have a table, and you have a mokom. You know, I'm leaving out 100 steps of Beitai, but how many times did I have Vadim, and for some reason, suddenly there was a gabbai or a shaman said, oh, we don't want this here in this building, and we and standing out with Chabura the Vat in the street somewhere in the winter. It happened with that, you know, or the building was locked all of a sudden, or something happened that was all kinds of circumstances that you thought that you had a place and it's it, and it's all the Neshamayim, the Ashkaka process, whatever it is my share, and there you're standing under the moonlight, you know, the Vat in a circle, you know, in the cows up in the cold, having a Vat, you know. So, you know, you don't realize every little thing all these different little hanos that we're having, how much we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then that we have a few neshamas here, people that understand and appreciate, you know, you think that's so kosher also. You see, it's not kosher because you look around the shul and you see that many of the people heard about the Vat, right? And many people were in the Vat already and they enjoyed it. They expressed their appreciation and they, how much they valued it. And they're sitting over here, I don't know, for different reasons. So, just a painful commercial. I'd like to always remind you, but I said the things that we do here in the Vat is like really very precious things that I myself was Makabo in Rav Miller, with Victor Miller, many, many years ago. And it was a time that he gave these Vadim. He had groups of people like exactly what we're doing tonight. I try my best to be loyal to the Derech that he had. And when Rav Miller became famous in the world, you know, he gave his shiurim and his classes. So he didn't have these Vadim anymore that I know of. I was already living in Eretz Israel. We came here in 1965, you know, Tavshin, in those years. So we're here for a long time, but as far as I know, in those years, he didn't have these Vadim anymore. He had the Gemara Shurim and all kinds of different classes. But this is the thing that in Tavshin, with Chet, in your tent, he had these little groups like we're having here. And it was very interesting. One group didn't know about the other group. For some reason, each group was like a secret. And they used to come together, and each group thought they were the only group, you know, and he had a certain reason why he did it like that, and we used to come together once a week, and it was like for 20 minutes or so, they give a little talk to present, you know, the Inyan of what, you know, and then he used to give the Ubza, and the group opened up, he used to go around to everybody, ask them, you know, if they did the Ubza. I don't like to do that, part of it, he used to ask them, you know, did you do it, you didn't do it, why did you do it?
How come the Rav doesn't like doing that?
Because I'm afraid the next week I'll be sitting here by myself. In fact,
Naftali Kaplan,
yes,
and then and the vibe that I was in with him doesn't.
He did it. Well, I tell you, sometimes you have the vibe once in 2 weeks, not every week. And I don't know if you even know what this is, because what I'm even talking about. But in those days, they had a thing what you call a postal card. And a postal card is?
A postcard.
Right. You probably don't know what it is even.
We know
what a postcard
right.
is.
So the alternate week that the VAD was every other week. There are certain times. And on the alternate week, you had to send in a postal card to the Miller, you know, saying, you know, count every day that he did the VAD that week and that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, on the write a postal card, you know.
It's a big Messiah.
Right. I repeat, I'd like to have company next week.
Okay.
The big Messiah, like I say, the apparition is successful, you know, but if the Olam wants it, I'm game, you know. But you have to give me you have to sign a contract. Like a commitment, you know, no matter what. Okay, everybody's saying. Anyway, but Baruch Hashem, I just want to say that what we're doing here is you know, is that you're hearing over something that's very choshev, like first hymn, you know, I don't know if there any, how many people that was nice to hear these vadim from Rav Miller in those days are giving it over, you know, to anybody. I'm talking about in the world, you know, like, there are Baruch Hashem, probably a number of people that are living that was like that, you know, they had to have these vadim. But I don't know how many of the people you know, are giving it over. And, many years ago, somebody once asked Rav Miller or Shaila about one of the Ubdis, and he told him to ask me that I'm one of the, he's like a big mumka on his Ubdis. I'm happy that to be able to try to give over to the Olam. I hope that I'm doing it accurately and that fulfilling, you know, my Torah to sexually. Okay, everybody say, now we can get down to business. So last week we worked on something, one of probably the most recited inyanim, you know, that we have in the repertoire of our Ubdis, that we say, that we're working on spending a few minutes every day focusing on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Anybody want to say over? Would you like to say over?
So, my track record of every day wasn't so good. However, I did do it a few times. And I found that it was very difficult just to find a quiet spot to go. So when I finally overcame that, I started thinking, and I can't describe it, but there was this like whoosh, this like feeling of calmness that descended upon me. And then the next Shmon Esrei, that like I just, you know, when I said Baruch Atah Hashem, and like I tuned in, that exact same feeling repeated itself. So it was very like it was like the Rav said, like that increase in heightened awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was present at the next Shmon Esrei.
I just want to really, Baruch Hashem, very, you know, what we say, progress is our main product, as General Electric used to say. So Baruch Hashem, the Maisa, just to share with you an Eitz HaTeva of Rav Miller himself, used to tell us that, you know, like in order to do this, you don't have to doctor, look for, you know, a quiet place. And in other words, like a lot of times, you're in a place that you're doing something that you're entitled to have your privacy of thought. It's like, let's say you're sitting with it. So you can make believe that you're reading a book or, you know, you're concentrating on something, you know, and you're not doing anything of the kind. You're thinking about Hashem, but, you know, like, just exactly, like you think about a So, like, let's say you want to think now, right? Like, you want to have the privacy of thinking. You want to do it over here. You don't want to go out to find a private place, right? But somebody will come over and bother you, so you can open a safe and, you know, like, and you can, like, act as if you're intensive concentration, that nobody's going to bother you, you know, or it's like, you can find your privacy in a public place.
So I was in a waiting room today, and I waited for 20 minutes, and, like, could have done that. Yeah.
Right. Sometimes you can do it. You check out a cell phone. Really, I've done it also. You take a cell phone, and you know, you make you very much engrossed in the conversation in a way that nobody's going to bother you and interrupt you. Now, Philip used to give us. Yeah, himself gave us these aces that you know, for this over. Sometimes you want to, you want to have the expense of the luxury of privacy. So easy you can go to a private place, you know, go into the woods like the Baal Shem Tov or something, you know. So you could do that, but you don't have to. If you don't have the luxury of doing that, you can be a mamish in the base medrash over here and you know, check out with everybody and just make a safer and this
just don't hold the safer upside down.
Allow yourself the luxury of privacy, you know. Okay, so Bochy, has something you want to share with us?
So, I have to say, this was probably, I had the most success with this mukta that I've had with any mukta going back, maybe from the very beginning. Mamash, my celebration. I tried a different tack than I did the first week when I wasn't so successful. Mm-hmm. The first week I tried to do what you just did, which was try to find quiet, uninterrupted, where I could kind of like spend more time just kind of like meditating or thinking about it. But I found like I didn't have any success. So instead, what I did this week was any time that I just felt myself just had a second, I would try to think about Hashem and Hashem creating the world and that He was running the show. Mm-hmm. It helped relax me tremendously, especially during my day when you get caught up in everything. You know, why do I have to take the car to the garage? And why do I have to do this? And then the kids are this, and then they're just all the different things. And so instead of, whenever I thought about it, oh, Hashem's running the world. It's dependent on Him, it's not dependent on me. I'm just kind of going with the flow. I have to do what I have to do, but I kind of really like.
Just two things. First of all, I just want to remind the Olam that, if I remember correctly, this Uvda was the secondary Uvda, right? It was that,
secondary?
We have a secondary, read the note.
Minutes? It was a do-over.
It was a do-over.
Yes.
I don't think we added one.
Okay, very good. But now remember that the island felt that they wanted to do another week, right. That practice was another week, so I just said that, right. Okay, very good, excellent, everybody said. Just a fine tune of what, you know, we're saying, like, you know, it's excellent, you know, the thing, except, like, again, very good that you had this thing and you had the tutorial of it, but the actual of itself is a little bit more than that. In other words, a tutorial is those thoughts that you said, but the itself is just like connecting yourself, just pure that I'm connected to the Bnei Shalom, that he's the creator of the world, and there's nothing in the world except His essence. He's the one that gives energy and power to everything. So the real essence of the Uvda is just allowing yourself, you know, release everything that you have, all your energies and all your thoughts, and just connecting yourself to the Bnei Shalom itself. Right? A tesor of it would be, you know, the outcome of doing that would be what you said. But the real essence of it is a type of disconnecting yourself with feeling like the pulses of this Bohu's energy is filling the world, and there's nothing else in the world except him and his kaya. That's what the real essence of it is. Moshe, you want to share something with us?
That's much more hard. That's more, much more difficult to do when you're at the garage waiting,
right.
Or when you're in the middle of driving and you're in a line.
That's for sure.
So
if you're driving,
instead, I found that it was just much more effective. So whatever I could, because the Rebbe said last week, we should do it all the time. We should do it many times during the day.
Right.
So the kind of like meditating approach, many times a day, just it was much more difficult, so I felt that I was at least able to kind of huff that 5 seconds here and a minute there.
That's excellent, but just like there's the hashkafa of this, hashkafa shabai, and then there's the connection. So the hashkafa of it, you're right, when we're thinking about the source of what it's supposed to be, it has that effect, the actions during the day, so that's what we do, which is correct. Right? It has this effect right now. If it's eminent, like it's well for sure, so what am I supposed to think now? And that's what you're doing. You're getting your head on straight, for a few seconds. So that's good, but it's just stems really from disconnecting you with the essence of the soul. So that's what you do in both ways. You keep doing that, but the real essence of doing it is that you should try a few times in the day of course you can't do it while you're driving. That's the problem, maybe if you were the Hashem Tov riding, coach in the sky, then you can. But you're driving in the road, so I wouldn't suggest it. the emphasis of it, I can say again, it's not easy, but even for a minute, so an opportunity just to lose yourself together with Hashem. Right? Okay, so Moshe, you want to share something?
The Rav said there were really two parts. The first is to understand. And he said that first part we shouldn't, whatever our concept of Hashem is, we should just focus on the manifestation, how a Kodesh Baruch Hu was manifest in the world and how that relates to us. But that first part became just trying to understand when we say Baruch Hu Hashem, like what is our concept of Hashem? Like what is that? And that's became for me a very powerful issue. Like just trying to realize that we have to have a concept when we say Hashem. And what is that concept and how does that relate to things? I think it was very, and then trying to understand that in terms of the relationship with everything else that, things around us and ourselves, and I got a lot out of it.
Yoshua.
So I turn into him in a few years. I would say that basically, I tried to do it every day at least once. I don't think I was totally successful 7 days a week, I'll say that. But probably somewhere in the 5 to 6 range. What I found was it took me to asking questions and having ideas and thoughts that I long since had. In the sense that, picking up from what Moshe was saying, who and what is Hashem? What is the essence of Hashem? Concepts of time and eternity, and what is space, and what is reality, what is not reality, what is a nace, what is not a nace, what is teva, what is. And for many years, I stopped thinking about that because it wasn't quote unquote practical. Mm-hmm. What's practical is what's the halakha, what do I do, what's my response. So it was taking me back to another time in my life when I would take when I had more time just to give thought to these great questions of life. Mm-hmm. And I found it at times disturbing, mm-hmm. and yet as well very, very rewarding, very relaxing.
Okay, what can I tell you? As I look at me, this is like really I hate to use such a terminology, but they say grab the bull by the horns. I don't know if it's right to use this term, you know, but to me, getting down to the essence of, you know, this is what the inner core and the essence of being a Yid is, you know. It's amazing how we can be so involved in being Jewish and religious and just avoiding the issue of the essence of everything, you know. Okay, Abishai, I tell you, if we devoted our vine, you know, from now on just to do this and nothing else, it wouldn't be new time. You know, it would be very, very meaningful and very important and very productive. But maybe before making it like a radical, such a radical change, and you know, so that's actually maybe we continue in our regular Derek. So basically, I would like to suggest to the Oilem and to all the Oilem, I think that probably everybody here is agreeable that we should continue this for another week. Not every side, right? And with masters. In the meantime, maybe we'll go on though. There was suggesting this as a secondary of the. We only have one of the, but we'll continue this, you know, this. And I just want to suggest, like, go on, you know, with a new of the, like, that would be the main of the. The Ufta that I wanted to suggest tonight, if I say, is an Ufta that we have a very, we call the veterans, the veterans section that, you know, we've done this study in the past, this Ufta, and it's also from Rav Miller, this Ufta, and I find it like a tremendously also valuable, very valuable Ufta. One of my, if I can have favorites, one of the favorites and I think that, you know, productive and meaningful, right? Let's say, in fact, the Avraham Avinu was our founder of Klal Yisrael, so it has, you know, a tremendous meaning that he organized and he put together Klal Yisrael. And the mere fact that we're sitting here tonight together, looking at each other and talking, it was because of some principle, some ideal that Avraham Avinu had, and because he was so imbued with it and so dedicated, that he started to make a vad. Avraham Avinu was like the Rosh Havadim, right? She decided to make a band of people that are inspired to do, you know, of this, right? And his band, and he became, you know, clients, or became a nation. But he made a big bang. He made a big wave. He made like he was successful in influencing the poor people. So, and the importance of the ideals that he discovered. And seriously speaking, of which I, it's an interesting thought that he made a you know, like the ripples of when you throw a stone in, you know, into a river. And those ripples tonight, we're sitting here, you know, from the result of those ripples that he made a few thousand years ago. We're the tesoros, you know, continuation of this ideal that Avraham Avinu had 2,000 years ago. So, I mean, it's important for us that because that's what we are, to know, you know, what his ideal was, what his ideas and ideals were. So we know that his main ideal was chesed, right? And Avraham Avinu came to, you know, was imbued with this realization of the importance of chesed because he was a searcher also. He looked for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he searched for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he found the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he found in the world, showed himself as a Baal Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have shown himself in many different midas, and the mida that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed himself was the mida of Chesed. This really answers, you know, that's a question that, you know, we know that there are two attributes that Avraham Avinu had. two main attributes. He was a searcher, right? That was known by Avraham because he's looking and looking and looking. Eifel Balabira, Eifel Balabira. Where's the Balabas? He said, there must be a Balabas here. There must be somebody that created this. Where is he? What does he want from us? You know, what he make this for, and he must communicate with us. Where's the Balabira? Where's the Balabira? We're searching and looking. And finally, Vayom Hashem Avram, Lech Lecho Miyaziko, according to some days, after he was 75 years old, looking and searching and begging. And finally, he found that he was a searcher, Avram Vinu, and the result of his search, he found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Baal Chesed. So, he was a searcher, and it's all one, it sounds like two things, but it's really one, because he searched and found Hashem is a Baal Chesed. So he was a searcher, and he tried to do chesed, because that's what he discovered in his searching, right? And again, he realized that since Hashem showed himself in that way, that's what Hashem wants from us. The predominance in our actions and our ideals to be do chesed. So he devoted his life then, you know, to chesed, where he can emes the Yaakov and chesed the Avraham. So Rabbi Tzai, and members of this Vaad that Avraham Avinu made, this Chabura, this club, right, that subsequently came out to what they call today, you know, Klai Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. So the essence of it really is Chesed. And we have that in our bloodstream, we have it in our hormones. You know, he made a kinyan in our shamas through his idealism. A created nation that we have within us this idealism of chesed, but it's the kaya. In order to be more of a poil, we have to do something to make it the poil of this. We have to do actions, and we have to upgrade in order to bring out the meister. So I just wanted to tell them also that all through the years, there's so much to speak about the chesed of Klal Yisrael. There's so many stories that about the Zayim, about Manhigim, about Torah, the Sinus Nefesh of Torah, the Smartest of Torah, from Man Torah to Yom HaZeh, Rabbi Yosher, all these great the Hasmada and their devotion to Torah. But all the stories of Torah, by the we are together marvelous merging stories about the chesed. Sometimes the stories of the Torah, are more popular than the chesed stories. But you know, the stories of our manhigim, of our gedolim, the chesed is unbelievable. You know, like the extent of how much they have in nefesh. That's like one example. I think I've given this example already. The Giva Eger, which he's especially in the Shiva Oilam, like he's like the star of the stars, and that's considered like Spitz Lumbus of the Giva Eger. Like his whole derech is so enlightening, it's so deep. And he used to give shiurim all over the Giva Eger. But one of his greatest ideals also was that. Was that when he used to come into a town and they were competent to give a speech somewhere, give a shiur, when he came into a town, the first thing when he came into the town was that he said, take me to your medical facility. If you want to know, we're talking about, probably 200 years ago, but the first thing he would say when he comes to the town and they welcome him, right? They say, take me to your medical facility. I want to see how you treat your poilim here in the city. That was one of his outstanding areas of chesed, that he was concerned always how they took care of whatever their standards were at that time, and whatever their concept of medical treatment was at that time. The first thing he wanted to see if they're devoting themselves properly the care, the medical care properly. So people don't know about that Rebbe Giva Eger. They just know about his love, about his learning, but the fact that he was so concerned about that, that would be the first thing he would ask when he comes to the city. It just like shows us a different light, I'm Rebbe Giva Eger, and so it goes to so many stories about the kind Brits, the kind he's the father to the whole father of Lumbus that we have in the Yeshiva Shibarok we have today. The Chaim, his house, his living room. If you know, we ever go to a makola, it's a street to have, take this hanging along, you know, this couch for rent, you know, we're selling a sofa, you know, space, a few bottles for babies we want to buy. So his whole living room was, you know, like wallpaper. The whole room, there were papers pasted on. It was living room. People, you know, come in and they're selling things, buying things, renting things. And in all the rooms of his house, there were always people sleeping, coming in. If he ever came to the house, he needed a place to sit down, to lay down. He came into his house. The rabbi was this, you know, he was the rabbi of the town. And it was like a Rishita Rabin, his house. You know, of chesed, and he took in Yisraelim, kids that were deserted by the parents in the streets, that nobody even knew about the yichus. If, you know, it was questionable what the yichus was, he used to take them in and like his own children, treat them and grow them up and, you know, support them and marry them off. But it was like a factory of chesed, his house. But like the Spitz loved this, and, you know, like the father loved this, you know, with all the yeshivas, you know, Brisk, that's like Kotche Kotchen, but everybody, you know, everybody knows it, but I wonder how many people know about that the house was a factory of chesed, you know, Mamish, an edifice of chesed. It was like a Rosh Hashanah Rabin, you know, like a place where it was just chesed, day in, day out, you know. So just giving you a few examples of this is what clientele was, you know, and the people followed suit also. When you have a brother, that respected brother, that every whole life is tested, so the people emulate that also. So the clientele also was like that. I wanted to just the kids, the Ugdal Maisa, I wanted to suggest, but everybody listen very, very closely, because the time is very late, you know, and I want to get over quickly that. One day, today, you think of a chesed that you want to do tomorrow, right? The main milah of the chesed, of the Ugda, isn't doing the chesed, which you should do also, but the main thing is that today you plan to do a chesed tomorrow. What kind of chesed? Like, maybe you make a gemach for $50,000, it's a loan, or you marry off a cousin, get a boy a dira for $500,000. I'm just talking, remember saying, The kind of chesed I'm talking about, that I didn't know the veterans, you take a pen for a few groosh and you put it in your pocket, an extra pen, you put it in your pocket with the mind, and in case somebody needs a pen, you have it there to loan out. Or you put a couple of band-aids in your wallet in case, you know, somebody gets a scratch. You have the smallest little chesed, the importance of the ugda isn't the quantity or quality of the chesed, but the fact that you premeditated to do it. Like Rav Miller, the Rebbe, used to say, in his language, used to say, the fact that you bother your brain to think about, you know, some chesed you want to do tomorrow, that's the accomplishment, you know. You bother your brain to think about what kind of chesed I'll do tomorrow, so that's where the accomplishment is. It sounds like a simple thing, but it makes a moralistic impact it has on our pneumius, if we say, this ugda, right? If you forget today to think about tomorrow, you know, what to do, so then tomorrow, you shouldn't just do a chesed. Whenever you remember, the morning you remember, say, you make it in the afternoon, so you'll do the chesed in the afternoon. If you remember in the afternoon, you remember in the evening to do the chesed. Now, but whatever it is, it shouldn't be, you just do it. It should be with a plan. To think of what am I going to do later. Rabbi say, you can cheer somebody up if you want, somebody knows that's a little bit, you know, down and out. Rabbi say, alright? Rabbi say, that's the ugda. Alright? Rabbi say, it's clear. Bez Hashem, okay, if we say. So we have two of this really tonight. We have like the old ugda from last week to continue, and the main ugda from the week. We didn't spend so much time speaking about it, but I think we got it across to the oilam, right? Because it's clear, right? How much knas? You can pay with credit card or a check. Everybody should have a terrific Shei Tishmai and Hatzlacha, and we should be safe for all of us to fulfill the purpose why we're in the world of Rishai.
Amen.